Welcome, everyone, to Horses Mouths Advisor Radio. Today is Thursday, December 15th, 2016. I'm Doug Pierce, Associate Editor at Horses Mouth, and I am joined once again by Charles Sherry, author of our Advisor Talking Points column. Charles, thanks for being with me. In the wake of the post-election rally, you've got a review of a market valuation tool that may provide some perspective.
Exactly. And first of all, thanks for having me here today. Great to be back, Doug. You're exactly right. We've been kind of witnessing what I think might just be called a melt-up in stocks since Election Day. You've got the Dow up around 8%. You've got the S&P 500 up around 5%. So we've seen some very impressive gains. And with new highs in the market, I think that brings, in some respects, there's a lot of elation out there. It creates wealth. It's good for clients. It's good for the market. It's good for the economy. But there's always that, you know, nagging thought in the background, because we've always got 2000 and 2008 that's still there. And is a concern is it maybe stocks getting too pricey. Our valuation's really stretched. So I thought it would be a good time to kind of maybe take a look at some of the valuation tools that are used, you know, to kind of see where stocks are at and are they really good predictors of what might happen to the market over the short term, say over the next year. And the first one I wanted to look at here is most of us, I think all of us are familiar with Robert Shiller's cyclically adjusted PE ratio. You know, if most of us heard of it, briefly how it's put together, you're really just taking the S&P 500 index and you divide it by the last 10 years of inflation adjusted earnings, and Shiller uses GAAP earnings. And by inflation adjusted, he's just using the CPI to go ahead and adjust for earnings. Let's just jump down to figure one and kind of take a look at what's happened over the last 100 plus years. And I really want to focus more on modern day times, but I did want to include data going back, because Shiller himself goes ahead and goes back to the early 1880s. And I think we can see if you look you know, if you look at figure one, you can see after a long bull market in the mid-1960s, maybe we were kind of getting, stocks were getting a bit pricey, were looking expensive, and large caps at that time began to struggle. Some of you looking in history may remember, or at least historically have seen, where, you know, the Dow hits 1,000 in the mid-1960s and it can't fully break away from 1,000 until the early 1980s, kind of 15 years stuck in that pattern. But we can also see in the late 1970s where maybe it gave a false buy signal, where stocks were relatively cheap. It didn't price in the 1987 crash. It signaled it maybe gave a sell signal in 1997, 3 years prior to the market topping. And another thing you want to look at more, maybe more recent times, if you take a look at the historical average, the average PE of 16.7, starting in 1991, pretty much for the entire period since then, we have been above the average PE ratio. So I think what this kind of tells us is it's not a very good timing tool, at least looking out for a year. What it may tell us, though, is that over a longer period, say 10 years, and it's something that Shiller kind of emphasizes, you'll probably have, given today's current PE ratio on this, on this index, we may have muted returns. And one of that reason would be is we would expect a recession sometime in the next few years. And when that recession happens, we're going to have a bear market, and that's going to take a bite out of stocks. Of course, if history's any guide, we know that shares rally, and we will eventually go to subsequent new highs when the economy begins to recover. Another thing we want to look at when we look at the cyclically adjusted PE is some of the limitations. And a recent story in the Wall Street Journal, one of the things it pointed out, I think maybe to its benefit, is that they do use a conservative measure of earnings, and that's generally accepted accounting principles, GAAP. But you also have to be careful, because the definition of GAAP can change. And we've seen that in the early 90s and the early 2000s when GAAP changed, and that had an impact on earnings. So what the journal did was construct maybe a more consistent earnings measure using total U.S. after-tax corporate profits. It looked at the total value of stocks from the Federal Reserve versus the S&P 500. And if you jump down to figure two, you can see, we're you know, of course, we're below, well below what happened in the year 2000, but we're also significantly below where, you know, the PE ratio of what we saw a decade ago before the financial crisis and the bear market, which knocked roughly 50% off the major indexes. So that would even that index in itself would suggest that shares, shares are more fairly priced, taken into account where interest rates are at, which this index does not, which of course the which Shiller's index does not. That would even provide even fairer, or as some would argue, maybe valuations might even be a bit on the cheap side. If you look at current PE ratios, we'd also see that they're not a reliable short-term predictor of where stocks might be in 1 year. And with some recent data that came out from LPL Financial, it did show a weak correlation between, you know, what happens to PE ratios and what happens to earnings, but it's not really a good forecaster, because even when using data going back to 1970, when the PE ratio, the current PE ratio, was higher than it is today by almost a 3-to-1 margin, next year stocks were higher than they are than they would have been today. And even then, there's a wide variance of what happens where stocks may actually be. So really what this kind of just tells us is, you know, where are stocks valued in relation to earnings? But these indexes don't tell us things like you also have to factor into the valuation equation things like where interest rates are at, what's happening to inflation, what's expected economic performance. Where these PE ratios do become a good timing tool is when you begin to anticipate a recession. If investors begin to anticipate a recession, and we do have one, that's going to hit stocks. And a major reason simply happens because, when you have a recession, earnings forecasts drop significantly. And if you go back over the last 50 years, you can see that bear markets do correlate closely with recessions. The one exception, the crash of 1987. And if you jump back to figure one, you can see that index, the Shiller adjusted PE ratio, was not suggesting that stocks were grossly overpriced at that time.
And of course, a recession will happen eventually.
It will happen eventually. And, and I talk a little bit about the Fed below, but when you look at the Fed's projections that come out on a quarterly basis, at least through 2019, they're not calling for a recession. I would not ever expect the Fed in an outlying year to say, we're going to have a recession in 19 or 20. But when that happens, and the recovery is getting long, that's likely we're going to see a bear market at that point.
Okay, well, you brought up the Fed, and they did raise rates. You want to talk about that?
Well, that was pretty much – that rate hike was expected. I mean, forecasting a rate hike at the December meeting was kind of like forecasting that the sun would come up this morning. So what investors were really looking at was, how is the Fed going to frame the rate hike? What was the dot plot going to look like going forward? And I don't think there were really any surprises. You look at this so-called dot plot where each Fed official projects what should be what they believe should be the appropriate level of the Fed funds rate at the end of 2017, 18, and 19. And what we saw was a slightly more aggressive Fed. We're now seeing the potential for 3 hikes next year versus 2 at the September meeting. But when it came to 18 and 19, the outlying years, they're all still expecting 3 rate hikes at that point. They're still expecting those 3 rate increases. And again, not a real surprise when Yellen was asked about it. One of the things that she brought up was that some Fed officials, not all, but some, are maybe incorporating some assumptions of changing in fiscal policy, a little bit of the economic projections, like a little bit lower of an unemployment rate. She called it a touch lower on the rate, maybe some slight upward revision to inflation for this year. But she also was quick to point out not all Fed officials. This is a median forecast you're seeing in table one. Not all Fed officials want to see 3 rate hikes next year. Let me caution, however, that this is a snapshot of sentiment and time that can change depending upon economic conditions. When that happens, that can be incorporated into the outlook for the market. Really, bottom line is, at least it may take a couple of days for this to play out. We haven't seen much negative reaction in stocks. We've continued to see bond yields move higher. From a stock market perspective, historically, rate hikes have not hurt stocks. Rate hikes have typically been in response to a stronger economy. A stronger economy has historically been a plus for earnings.
Okay, so we haven't seen any major shift in the Fed's long-term plan post-election. It's kind of staying the course.
I think that's what we're seeing right here. It's a cautious Fed. I mean, Doug, it's a cautious Fed. You go back to the old Bunker Hill story. You know, the Fed wants to see the whites of the eyes before they pull the trigger. And we're seeing that from Yellen over and over. And as I talk about, you know, next year, one of the things, you know, when you start to look at some of the data, though backward looking, when you look at the velocity of money, and I do provide a link in the piece, you can see that continues to drop. And that would suggest there's still some caution out there. We're not seeing the so-called animal spirits being released yet, where consumers are spending more in businesses are spending more, because the velocity of money simply measures the turnover of money in the economy. And it's right now, even again, backward looking indicator, it's at the lowest level since at least the late 1950s.
Okay, well, 2017 is right around the corner. Do you have anything for us to look forward to?
Well, one of the things I wanted to quickly look at is, you know, you're looking at Q4 GDP. I like to look at the Atlanta Fed model. It does incorporate in a real-time fashion economic releases that have a direct impact on GDP. So that adjusts from time to time. Right now, we're looking at a GDP growth of 2.4% in the fourth quarter. A little bit below what we're seeing in the third quarter. The data continues to come out unevenly. You saw that this week with the November retail sales and industrial production. Far from impressive, and retail sales did come out on the light side. Again, you know, we get data that's stronger, then we get data that's weaker. And I always think of a baseball game. There's some triples and home runs in this economy, and then there's some singles and you just strike out from time to time. But you would expect that in a low-grade economic recovery. And that's been what we've seen, you know, for much of the last 6 to 7 years. I think some of the positives may be if we can keep a floor under oil prices. Gasoline is still relatively cheap out there, but we have seen some increase in the oil patch, some increase in drilling, and that could potentially lend support to manufacturing. There was some regional data that came out Thursday morning that was on the plus side when it comes to manufacturing, at least through the month of December. Cautiously optimistic going forward that we're going to start to see manufacturing gradually begin to come back. Of course, with interest rates spiking, we got to keep a close eye what that might do to housing, because that's going to price some folks out of the market. The last time we saw a spike in interest rates, I'm thinking 2013, when the mortgage rates got close to 5%, that did slow the housing market. And then finally, let's take a look at, you know, earnings. We had an relatively impressive earnings for the third quarter. The earnings recession is behind us, and we're looking at continued earnings growth in the fourth quarter. You know, in addition to getting past Election Day and this expectation of positive fiscal policy, which could help the economy, earnings are growing again, and that's also going to lend support to stocks.
All right, and then, of course, the holidays are almost upon us. Do you want to share your holiday message?
Yeah, as I go ahead and finish this piece out, I started thinking about one of my favorite Christmas movies, and It's a Wonderful Life, and it's something that I enjoy watching every Christmas season. But when you really get down to it, at least from my perspective, it's just about this individual, George Bailey, and what he's doing over and over is he puts the interests of others before his own. And by doing that, eventually when he gets into trouble, when he faces a crisis, and it's through no fault of his own, you see the town and you see his family rally behind him. And, you know, we get so busy during this Christmas season. There's so many things to do. And sometimes it's good just to kind of step back for a moment and think about the real meaning of Christmas and the real meaning of the season. putting others before ourselves. On that note, I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah, and can't wait to see everyone in 2017.
Wonderful. Okay. I think that's going to do it. I want to thank you, Charles, for joining me today and everyone for listening. You have been listening to Charles Sherry, author of Horses, Mouths, Advisor Talking Points column. You can also check out Charles's website, www.financialjumble.com. He offers advisors market commentaries to use in their own newsletters and blogs. You can find more about that at his website. And thanks again for listening, everyone. Goodbye.